You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
I don't work to be social. I work so that I can be social out of work. And the same thing with meetings. And it's like, you can tell when someone's trying to meet a legitimate human need. I'm not saying we need less connection in this world either, but a business meeting is not where I get that done. All right. I'm doing that in other places. And that's why I can be so rigid about it too, because I don't need the meeting to meet one of my needs. I meet my needs way outside of the business.
Finally, after 5 years of product failures, my 35th offer actually worked. And my next 55 products generated over $11 million in sales in just 4 years. But after seeing the flaws in my baby business, I decided to shut it all down and restart from scratch, as entrepreneurs do. Follow me and the other capitalist pig-loving entrepreneurs as I continue my journey to $100 million in sales. I'm your host, Steve J. Larson, and welcome to Season 2 of Sales Funnel Radio.
What's going on? It's Steve Larson. Welcome back to Sales Funnel Radio. And there I was, a Sunday evening, looking at my next week's calendar and noticing I had only meetings. Hey, honestly, like, I want to talk about meetings because I get asked to get on calls. Let's just hop on a call. I don't do that. And frankly, like, I think most meetings are just a colossal waste of time and human preciousness. Like, oh my gosh, most meetings are absolutely awful. So what I want to do in this episode is tell you a little bit more about why and what I do to make meetings more effective. And I've actually prepared quite a bit for this episode. I put together a number of resources and places things to just maybe just support some of the things I'm talking about with this, because I'm not saying all meetings are bad, but I am saying that 80% of them are and complete waste of time. I think one of the most frustrating things, easily the thing that ticks me off the most, is looking like over the next 2 or 3 days and all I see is like almost back-to-back meetings. For me, I work in a cave, man. Like, meaning I need to go in a cave, no one bother me, and that's where I get my stuff done. And when I go do a meeting, it just jacks it all up. It's like someone asked me once, like, well, how come you don't just go right back to the cave? I said, because getting to the cave is like falling asleep. And then when I wake back up, I have to like walk out of the cave. And then the distance to go back into the cave for me is for creativity and being able to just be in total flow. It takes work, you know? It's like a... And so if it's a meeting, or like, oh, you get 30 minutes right here. That's not enough time. You know, like, I look for like 3 hour chunks of time where I can really pound out some good work, you know, and I can't always do that. But my distaste for meetings really, I actually think started probably in college. Actually, I didn't even say high school, where I felt like I had something every single night. Like, I don't, that's not my personality. So when I was preparing for this, I wanted to be able to give you guys a few of the parameters for, you know, what I use to actually decide if we should have a meeting. Cause, and I realize I'm jumping straight into this. I should have given you guys more story, like, and all that, but whatever. Like, for me, the meeting is, take Google, for example. Google made famous and popular the 5 minute meeting. They literally have these meetings that are 5 minutes. And the reason they can do that is because of how much preparation is done prior to the meeting by all the members who attend it. That is an effective use of meeting time, right? There's a meeting that we have every week that is very effective. It is planned to the T. It is 90 minutes. We use it to assess our goals, where we are with them, what issues we have moving towards them, flesh out, you know, critical things that are happening like that. It's a very good use of time. I like that meeting. But the meetings where you get on to like brainstorm, I think is insanely wasteful. Like, I don't need to get on a meeting to brainstorm. Put me in a cave. Does that make sense? That's why I get so frustrated with them. So, you know, I'll be at like masterminds or I'll be at, you know, events. Funnel Hacking Live is a big one where this happens a lot. People are like, hey, let's just hop on a call. And like, do you think I'm just like made of time? I have the same amount of time as everybody else. No, like that's not a reason for me to jump on a call. Just cause someone wants to, I'm not that guy. And I know that there are people out there that need to like talk out their thoughts and that's kind of how they're like verbal processors, you know, and that's fine. Here's what I want to do though, is I want to give you guys, this is like four or five things that I kind of ask myself. I don't ask them always like explicitly, but this is like kind of my emotional checklist that I'm going through. When I'm like, and honestly, I will bring this up when I'm talking with somebody who's like, hey, let's have a meeting. And I'm like, cool. Number one, first off, what is the problem that we're trying to solve? Right? Like why, what's the thesis for the meeting? So I'm giving it to you right now. It's four things. Okay. Before deciding to have a meeting, number one, right? What is the thesis for the meeting? What are we getting together to go do? Because if it's for brainstorming, we should all do that individually and then come to the meeting having already brainstormed, and then we can do it collectively as a whole. But before that, I don't go to meetings to brainstorm, right? That for me, that like lets creativity off the hook. Like that takes the right kind of pressure off of people's brains. They should go through the brainstorm process prior to the meeting, right? And they should try to know, like, anyway. I'm going to try not to get, I went straight into it on this episode. I literally hate meetings. I think that they're just like so insanely dumb. Like most of them are just there. Anyway, and I'm not like sitting on an island on this one. Like there's a lot of people and a lot of famous people who are kind of the same. They're like, this could have been an email, right? If you've heard anyone say that, this is exactly what I'm talking about. This could have been an email. This could have been a quick voice message. That's why I like Voxer and other voice messaging platforms. Cause I can 3x speed it. And it's like, hey, look, don't leave me something that's more than like 2 minutes, you know, and it forces the in fact, that was Russell's rule for a long time. You can't leave them a message that's more than 90 seconds. If so, and it was really kind of interesting. His methodology behind it was like, hey, if so, then it kind of means that you haven't thought through what you're going to say before you're talking. So you end up with all this fat in your languaging, if you will. And, so you don't get to the point. So number one, before deciding to have a meeting, ask yourself, what is the problem you're trying to solve? If you don't know, why are you having a meeting? Right? It may literally just be a formality at that point. Number two, ask yourself why you actually would need to talk face to face on this. Why would you need to talk face to face for that problem? Is there some aspect? So once you know what the problem is, number two, why do you need to speak face to face for that problem, right? Meaning or voice. Is there something that you could literally just hash out over a Slack message, right? Or an email or something. Number three, this is a really critical one. And this right here, if I can't answer this one, I will wildly push back on showing up for the meeting. Number three is what work has already been done to actively solve the problem, right? Is there at least been thought work at a minimum? And right, has someone at least thought through solutions or possible solutions. I really liked when we were at the Inner Circle last week, there was a, I learned this from Jose Perez, cool guy, you know, awesome, love him, amazing. Jose was like, he's like, yeah, we call it the 1-3-1. When somebody stands up and says, I have a problem, what they're also required to do is share three possible solutions that they've thought through and then the one that they think is the right answer. So one, problem, three, possible solutions, one solution that you recommend, 1-3-1. I'd love that. And it's like, anytime one of my people that works for me or someone on my team comes and I'm like, we have an issue. It's like, cool. What have you thought through as the three ways to solve that? And then what's the one that you'll go choose and decide on your own? And I think that's a really great way to handle it. I had this, I've had a couple teachers who were some of the best teachers I've ever had who literally never answered any questions of the students. And I think what shocks people about that is they're like, well, then how was he a good teacher? Some of the best teachers I've had are not spoon feeding me every single, they're not Google. You know what I mean? That's the problem is like, we think that sometimes a teacher needs to be somebody who has literally every single answer. And they might, of all the questions that you're asking, they might know exactly what to do. And often when I'm at events and somebody's like, hey, Steve, can I ask you a question? What about blah, 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 blah? I actually do them a disservice if I give them the exact answer, just without them even doing any thought work on it. Isn't that funny? I'm actually robbing them. And that's kind of what these teachers, I've had multiple, some of the smartest people I know, treat me like this, where they're like, and so I'll ask a question. I'll be like, hey, you know, professor, teacher, whatever. I'll be like, hey, you know, here's a question that I've got about blah, 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 blah. And they would just flip it on me and be like, yeah, what do you think? That's it. If you were going to solve that, what would you say? You know, or they'd say things like, if you're in my shoes, what would you say back to you? You see what I'm saying? And then they go, oh, well, you know, I think that this could work. And like 80% of the time, it's like the right direction. I had a cool coach of mine tell me that my job is to point in the direction of truth for them to seek as much as possible. Because if I give it too many answers for people, you know, it will literally rot. They'll be getting knowledge they didn't do any work for, and therefore they will treat it that way as well. And that can be one of the major reasons someone doesn't move forward, even though you helped them out, you know, heavily. But so the same notion is true for a meeting. It's like, all right, step number one, what's the problem you're trying to solve? Step number two, why do you need to talk face to face about that problem? And then number three, what work has already been done to try to actively solve that problem? Thought work at a minimum. Meaning if someone's trying to call a meeting and stuff to come together, it's like, all right, you know, what have you been trying? Funny enough, when we have like our book, A Call Funnel, I'm building one right now for us. It's awesome. And in every book, A Call Funnel I've ever built, though, we always ask the question, like, what have you already been trying? What have you been trying? You know, to what problem are you running into? What have you been trying? Right. Even in the pre-purchase conversations, right? Before we get on the sales call, the sales meeting, if you will, I'm still asking them, hey, are you a lazy bum and don't think for yourself? That's basically what I'm asking, right? All right. The fourth thing I ask is, where are you stuck? Right. And that really is the agenda for a meeting for me. So just recapping them. What's the problem you're trying to solve? Why should you talk face to face? What have you already done to try to solve it? And then where are you stuck? And when you come to a meeting with that premise and you're like, hey, this is the purpose for the meeting, and then people can go prepare for it prior to showing up, it's like super effective, super effective. I keep bringing up college stories lately. I don't know why. Anyway, some really formative lessons from some key professors. I had a few professors who, if they found out that one person on our team did not, it wasn't an assignment-based semester, but they treated us like a board, you know? And so you had to go do what a board member would do and do all the research and try to just, you'd come to the meeting with charts and graphs and numbers. You didn't go to the meeting to be saved. You went to the meeting to have your crap together already to contribute, right? And if they found out there was somebody, just one person in our team of like 15, a single person, I'm trying to remember which teacher did this. They would like dismiss the whole class. Like, oh, you guys aren't ready. Bam, gone. The whole point, like I've had very aggressive mentors and teachers and professors in this topic where it's like, you show up to meetings prepared. You prepare for meetings. You don't go to meetings to prepare. Does that make sense? And that makes them wildly effective, but most people don't use them like that. Oh, and the other thing that drives me nuts too is how come every meeting needs to be like 30 to 60 minutes? You know, it's kind of like Tim Ferriss. Tim Ferriss was saying like, there's no way that every single person's job on this planet does not need to take, I found the quote. What was it? Because I've been re-listening to 4-Hour Work Week. I re-listen to that book frequently. He's like, how's it possible that all people in the world need exactly 8 hours to accomplish their work? It isn't. 9 to 5 is arbitrary. And the same thing is I feel true for meetings. There's no way a meeting needs to be 30 to 60 minutes to 2 hours to 4 hours or whatever. Like, get into the meeting to get the outcome and then get out. Right? Get into the meeting to get the outcome and then get out. Yesterday we had, we do like a quarterly state of the business in front of the whole team. We have about almost 20 people who work for us, and the 20 people, just about everyone was on there yesterday, and it was super cool. It's great to see everyone's faces on Zoom, you know, where it's a virtual team. It's in person and virtual, actually. And I remember just looking at it, and we were on for about an hour. counting everyone's salaries and everyone's stuff, like how much it costs us just to have that 1 hour meeting. And I remember watching Russell do that too at ClickFunnels once. There was like a 2 hour meeting that went on and he was looking at everybody that was sitting at the table. And there was kind of like some joking going around. He goes, "Hey, let's get back to it here." He's like, he was kind of joking, but he's dead serious. He's like, "I want you to understand how much money it costs for us to have this meeting." And I started looking around at the room and that meeting cost like 10 grand. You know what I mean? Like in payrolls and salaries and all that. And it's so true. So it's like death by meeting is like it's a real thing and it can kill you in more than just emotional ways. It can actually really hurt you financially if people aren't actually producing. Every dollar you spend in your business, right, needs to be attributed to bringing in more dollars. And if it's not, you got some waste going on, right? And the same is true with meetings that mean nothing. I'm sure you guys have heard of, I'm going to botch his last name. It's Patrick Lencioni. He's got some really awesome like...
Hey, I hope you're enjoying the episode. Let me interrupt for just 1 minute here. One time I was speaking on the stage at this event, this guy picked up a microphone and he said, "Steve, when do Facebook ads begin paying off?" And I remember looking confused and just asking back, like, "What do you mean?" He repeated the question and said, "Well, we've been spending a lot of money on Facebook ads for a long time now, and we're just wondering when this begins to all pay off, when we actually start making money from the ad." I said, "Wait, Facebook ads are not an investment. They don't pay off someday. This is direct response marketing. So if we don't get a payoff within the first few days, we turn off the ads. How much money have you spent?" I will never forget the look at this guy's face as he realized he had the completely wrong mindset about ads. And he said, "We've spent over $250,000 without any return on ads at all." My stomach fell out of my body. Look, this is direct response marketing, meaning we measure the direct response of our marketing. That's why ads are the holy grail of marketing. They're not an investment that pays off someday, sorry colleges, because every dollar spent on ads should return with another dollar very soon. That's what my good friend John Parks and I are doing, the Chief Ads Officer Workshop on May 15th through the 17th. John has spent over $150 million in Facebook ads profitably and manages the ads accounts for some of the biggest names out there. John is going to take 50 business owners through his unique Facebook ads process while you follow along. At the end, you're going to have your own account running. I simply asked John to show us what's working best today in the ads world right now. John told me that one of the hardest parts of running ads today is finding the right person to do it. Traditional org charts don't really have a spot for the ad buyer, so this workshop will help you install a new role, whether in-house or if you go higher, the new role of Chief Ads Officer inside your business. This workshop is both for those who want to learn ads themselves or for those who want to learn to communicate with their media buyer better. The workshop is only happening one time in person in my event studio in Boise, Idaho, May 15th through the 17th, and all the details are at chiefadsofficer.com. Go to chiefadsofficer.com right now to save your seat and get more details. We can't wait to see you there. Let's get back to the episode.
Business productivity books. One of them is called Getting Naked, which sounds like it's about something else, but it's a book about productivity and systems. Really cool, famous author, amazing guy. But he says the hard truth is bad meetings almost always lead to bad decisions, which is the best recipe for mediocrity. Totally, right? I got several other quotes on this. Like, he says, if people do nothing else with their time, the monotony of sitting through an uninspired staff meeting, conference call, or two-day offsite would have to rank right up there with the most painful activities of modern business culture. And when we consider that most people struggling through these meetings do indeed have other things to do, that pain is only amplified. There's actually other stuff that I got to go get done. And like sitting down and there's always like the same like four or five people who chum it up in front of everybody else. And I don't know what that is. Like, get to the point and get out, you know? I think this quote's funny. Bad meetings and what they indicate and provoke in an organization generate real human suffering in the form of anger, lethargy, and cynicism. And while this certainly has a profound impact on organizational life, it's also impact people's self-esteem, their families, and their outlook on life. Okay, bad meetings are far worse than not having one, okay? When you show up to a meeting, same thing is true. Like, I got to tell you guys. So, interviewsteve.com is where you can sign up to get to interview me on whatever you've got. My only caveat is you have to actually have had done whatever you're interviewing me on before. Like, I'm not anyone's first episode on their podcast, you know, and I did that. I made that call because I was getting too many people who were like, "Hey, Steve, you know what? Let's not do the interview. How about I just pick your brain for 30 minutes? Like, and which is highly offensive for me. Or I've had a lot of people who would be like, how do you click record again? And I'm like, I am not your guy for that. You show up to this thing freaking prepared. Or I've had people who will try to interview me and they're like, this has happened a lot. I'm like, so what questions should I ask you? And I'd be like, dude, it's your interview. You prepare. What do you want to talk to me about? Prepare for the freaking interview. Like, oh my gosh, it drives me nuts. So it's kind of like showing up on stage, not prepared and trying to wing it because you're going to try and channel. Okay. I can channel when I'm prepared. It drives me nuts. Prepare for your meetings. Prepare for them. And if you're interviewing somebody, you show up to that freaking interview prepared. My gosh, they're giving their time. Drives me nuts. It's one of the biggest ways to boil my blood and have us not get off on a good foot. I love this quote also by Patrick Lencioni. He says, meetings are the most justifiable reason to loathe meetings is they don't contribute to the success of our organizations. It's so true. And in this book, he's not trying to sell you on not having meetings. This book is all about how to do them the right way. It's funny because when I started preparing for this podcast and I found this book and I was like, this book was made for me. Like, I totally feel this way about it all already. And I've had so many teachers and professors and crazy smart people. Like, it's not that I'm anti-meeting. It's that it better be thought through. You don't go to the meeting to do the brainstorm. Everyone shows up prepared. Everyone has a piece of homework. Everyone brings something to the meeting, which means they're bringing something to contribute. Right. In the same book, he says meetings are ineffective because they lack contextual structure. So they just need, like, just like I was saying, like my four steps, like, what's the problem you're trying to solve? Why do you need to talk face to face about it? What work has already been done to try to solve that prior to the meeting by the person? Right. Where are they stuck? And now that's the meeting agenda. It's like you're getting there to solve a problem, or you're getting there to make a very key strategic decision or inform everyone, look, this is where we're going. I'm steering the ship this way, and this is why. What questions do you have? Cool. Done. Out. Does that make sense? And like, I'm very much now. Granted, in the Myers-Briggs, I'm also and all the DISC tests and all that. I am a DSC, which means I am very outcome driven, which probably wouldn't surprise you. Highly, highly, highly outcome driven. So I'm not trying to be. I don't go to a meeting to get my social needs scratched. I'm going to a meeting to get an outcome because this is business and it's not a charity, right? And I'm just like, so I get pissed when someone's like, hey, welcome meeting. And then 15 minutes goes by of shooting the crap. And then someone's like, all right, well, what questions does someone have? And I'm like, we should be calling the meeting because there was a question. You pulled me out of my cave for this? You know what I mean? It's like waking somebody up in the middle of their sleep. They better have a good idea. There better be an emergency. You see what I'm saying? Especially because I have a hard time sleeping sometimes. It's like, this better be good. You know what I'm saying? And it's kind of the same, almost hostility. And I will refuse to put that down. Like, it's like, if there's going to be a meeting, like, it better be because there's a problem or something unique is going on rather than, all right, it's time for our Monday meeting. Now, I do like to do stand-up meetings, you know, 10 minutes. Stand-up meetings are cool. Beginning of the day, hey, what's up? What's everyone's top three things you're getting done? Sweet. What's the thing you guys are struggling with? Right? That comes very much from the SaaS and the tech world, just the morning stand-up. Epic meeting. I love that meeting. It's 10 minutes, you know. It's when it gets to be like 30, 40. It's like, my brain's freshest in the morning. Stop wasting my brain power. So I get hostile about it. And, pretty unapologetic about that fact, to be honest. So much so that I'm doing a freaking episode on it. So I love this. This is a funny quote. When a group of intelligent people come together to talk about issues that matter, it is both natural and productive for disagreement to occur. Resolving those issues is what makes a meeting more productive, engaging, and even fun. Totally agree with that, right? That is definitely a reason to have a meeting. If there is strong differing opinions on a strategic move, especially by leadership, yeah, you need to hash that out. Like, get on, you know, and chat it out and be freaking open. You know, I think that's the other thing that shoots meetings in the foot is that we don't say what needs to be said in them a lot of times. It's like, can we pretend it's the freaking 90s and we just say what we all mean? Oh my gosh, too soon? Let's go. Come on. Like, it drives me nuts. So if someone's got an issue, Like, and as much as we want it to be, businesses aren't my family. Everyone is hired for a role. We can be friends, but it's not at the mistake. It's not at the jeopardy of why the business exists and why the person was hired and the role they came to serve. And it's measurable, and I can put a metric behind it. And there is definitely performance reviews happening. You know, like, it's a business. And if someone can't hack if someone's not producing, you gotta seriously question what's happening there, right? And that I say that so that you all know that, like, I'm not against meetings. I'm not against being friends with the people you hire, but don't do it at the detriment of the reason you have a company. Be profitable on purpose, unapologetically. Don't just scrape by. Hire things, right? You hire and install things in the business that are to fill a process that you need taken over because you can't do it anymore. It's how you scale, right? It's one of the, that's how you grow. It's like, you know exactly, oh, I can't handle these tasks anymore. It's too much. Sweet. Looks like when I put those together, that's a job description to me. Bam, hire that, right? Same thing when it comes to a meeting. It's like, the meeting is to solve a critical thing that really can't be solved over a Slack message or really can't be solved over. I got to tell you, it was so fun to, even when I was working over ClickFunnels, to watch. There's a company culture there that if you Vox Russell, it better be a well thought through message. And I appreciated that because I was in the room, so I could most of the time hear the messages, like all of them, right? And it was interesting to hear the ones that you could tell were thought through versus the ones who were like, so what are you doing today? Just thought I'd reach out, see how you're doing. And Russell just never responds to those. And I totally agree. And I've had people in my, I'm going to do a whole other podcast on this, on why I'm hard to reach. It's like half on purpose on why I'm hard to reach. And the other half of it is that I'm busy. Like, if I was going to answer every message in my social media accounts, like my life would be over. Like, this would be the only thing I do for the rest of eternity. So yeah, I don't answer 99% of messages that come my way. And like, I know it's something I need to solve, but anyway, I'm getting on a different thing there, but I will, it's the same reason with meetings though. It's like, if there's not a plan ahead of time, how on earth, right? It's like, hey, let's show up so we can build a house together. And then you show up and you're like, was there a blueprint we thought through on this house? It's like, what? Wrong order. That should be chosen before everyone shows up to start building the house, right? Anyway, yeah. To olive branch, okay? Here, let me extend an olive branch for this topic here. I love this quote. He says, while it is true that much of the time we're currently spending in meetings is largely wasted, the solution is not to stop having meetings, but rather just to make them better. No, but rather to make them better. Because when properly utilized, meetings are actually time savers. Boom. 100%. Absolutely agree. But only under the context that I am saying, where people show up for a specific agenda, being prepared, not trying to just shoot the crap. Like, yeah, because we've got stuff to do. You know, of all the human needs that we have, right, being social is one of them. But I do not scratch that itch at work. I don't work to be social. I work so that I can be social out of work. Does that make sense? So, and the same thing with meetings. And it's like, you can tell when someone's trying to meet a legitimate human need. I'm not saying we need less connection in this world either. Okay. But a business meeting is not where I get that done. All right. I'm doing that in other places. And that's why I can be so rigid about it too. Cause I don't need the meeting to meet one of my needs. I meet my needs way outside of the business. Then I'm showing up with a healthy relationship with the business. We're not where I'm like, please validate me. Please, let's have the social experiment together. Let's make sure we're always looking out for each other. It's like, all right, cool. But yeah, but there's still someone who is working their face off to bring in sales. Someone is still running paywall. Someone's still taking payroll. Does that make sense? It's a business, not a social club, right? All right. I got a few other good quotes here. Let me just go for them here. This is the last one from Patrick Lencioni. He says, improving meetings is not just an opportunity to enhance the performance of our companies. It is also a way to positively impact the lives of our people. And I definitely agree with that. So long as people realize that the business does not exist as their source of needs for social connection. It can certainly contribute to that, but that's not the point of the meeting. The meeting has a specific agenda. Does that make sense? Anyway, I love this from Tim Ferriss. He says, if you can't define it or act upon it, forget it. Same thing is true with the purpose of the meeting. If you can't define the purpose of the meeting, if there's something you or act upon it, then forget it. Just drop it. You don't have to have a meeting to hash out every single thing that's out. Anyway, all right. I've said what I want to say on this, but for the most part, meetings are a colossal waste of time. And it's not that they have to be or that they need to be, right? It is that we use them for the wrong purposes. They are so that people can show up having already prepared, kind of to like show what they found, and we make a strategic quick direction, right? Or to get very narrow on a problem you're trying to solve, or to, right, something that can't be done or would take 1,000 Slack messages back and forth to show. Like, does that make sense? Like, just prepare for it ahead of time. Otherwise, it is literally causing me brain damage. So, because meetings are not how I work. I work solo. I'm a lone wolf, baby. I work solo in a cave. And then I'll come out and I'll interact with people and I'll share, blah, 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 boom. But then, like, I need to leave. And if you're like a verbal processor and you're like, I got to talk this stuff out, that's fine. Be careful that you're doing it with strategic people and not the company or your whole team, because they have other things to do that you're paying them for. They can't go get done, and they won't get done because you're holding them up, right? And momentum is a thing. If they're back-to-back-to-back-to-back-to-back meetings, those of us who do not think well while, you know, we got to go into our caves, it jacks us up to have back-to-back-to-back-to-back meetings, right? First of all, it feels like micromanagement. Second of all, like, I just can't ever get to the space where I can actually get to my creative zone. So it jacks me up. And fastest way to kill my momentum right there, easily. All right, guys, hopefully you guys enjoyed this episode. I would love to, on that note, I love doing interviews. And so we've started to open that back up again. I will be honest with you. There's like well over 100 people on that list. And I'm starting to do, you know, two or three a week. So it might take a little bit, but just stay persistent with it. I promise I'll find other better ways to relieve that pressure. Cause I love getting in there and just whatever your audiences need help with. Like, I'm an open book on my interviews. Like, ask me anything, and I'm just there to help and serve. And I love that. Go to interviewsteve.com. Would love to jump on whatever you've got. Hopefully this has been a valuable episode for you. And I've been loving this new format. Awesome, guys. Bye.
You've obviously heard me say how important publishing content is in this internet game. And if you can't tell, I like making content. If you'd like to interview me on your show, summit, podcast, live stream, you name it, you'll find it all on stevejlarson.com. It's about halfway down the page. Also, if you've taken the plunge into live events, I love speaking on stages as well, by the way. Go to stevejlarson.com, scroll about midway down the page where it says interview Steve, and let me know what I could talk about that your audience would get the most from. Go to stevejlarson.com and let's chat.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.